Hello, my lovely listeners, and welcome to season one of the Nicola Paul Approach. My name is Nicola Paul, and I will be your host. I'm so excited to be welcoming you to my brand new podcast show because creativity and healing runs in my blood. And what better way to encourage my creative flair than speak to you all directly and share a splash of positivity. Don't forget to hit the subscribe on your podcast player so you don't miss an episode. If you have enjoyed an episode, please do leave a review and rating, as it will really help my podcast show reach out to help other people find my channel so we can all grow in our like-minded nation. In my podcast shows, I want to delve into what it means to nurture our mind, body and soul. After all, it's my mission to support and guide anyone who is listening to find the right path to improve their mental, physical and spiritual growth. Helping me properly welcome you all on this journey will be special guest appearances from time to time in my future podcast episodes. We are all experts in the field of well-being and mindfulness, and it's going to be my privilege to open up the door to this wonderful world for you all. Welcome to season one, episode five of the Nicola Paul Approach. My name is Nicola Paul, and in this episode, I will be talking to an inspiring millennial lifestyle blogger and personal development advocate from Essex in the UK. In her words, she helps women to navigate life's bullshit and get unstuck to live their best lives. Love that. We are going to talk about how she has come to where she is today. So let's welcome to the show the beautiful Shah.
Hello. Thanks. So that was such an amazing intro. Thank you.
You're absolutely well. You're welcome. You're welcome. And thanks so much for your time today as well, Shah. It's just an absolute honor of mine.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Before we actually do get to know you, though, I've been asking all my guests that have been coming on to the show. Obviously, second lockdown, national lockdown in the UK. So how are you dealing with it? You know, give us a little bit of a sort of background as to how you're dealing with COVID at the minute.
Do you know what? I've not found it too bad. I've lived by myself for 7 years now, so I'm kind of used to my own company. At first, I really appreciated the pace of life slowing down and was like, hopefully this is the only time in our lifetimes we will get this opportunity. So I'm actually just going to make the most of it. So I was that person that was baking banana bread and exercising every day. And then after a while, I got bored, and then it hit me, and it was like tears before bedtime, and it was just all the anxieties of everything. And then I just kind of started to think, well, okay, well, I just need to focus on what I can control and not on what I can't. So now I've come full circle and I've come out the other side, and I'm like, right, again, I'm just going to use this time as best as I can before I have to go back to commuting and back to normality and all of that stuff. So now I'm back to a place where I'm like, do you know what? It's okay. Like, I can have a bit of a lie-in. I don't have to get dressed too fancy. And yeah, now I'm just kind of back to the other side where, as awful a situation as it is, I'm really, like I said, just trying to control the controllables and make best of the situation.
Totally. I totally agree with you. Yeah. I mean, so many people that have been, you know, like you said, sort of running around in the rat race and just never having time just to even spend any time, quality time with family and even themselves, because that's it. That's the main part, I think, of all of this, what's happened, as sad as it is, like we say, is it's allowed us to really appreciate just being in the moment, you know. So
100%. So and just enjoying, like you say, the little things, just that, going back to absolute basics and being able to just sit and watch TV without that guilt of, oh, I should be here, I should be seeing that person. Now you can just sit and enjoy time and just do the things that you never got to do before.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like you. I started baking. I've never baked in my life.
The only thing I can bake is banana bread.
I was getting really upset when I was going to the shops and there was no flour.
And I was thinking,
I luckily missed that wave. I already had the flour, so it wasn't an issue for me. I got stuck with toilet roll in the first couple of weeks, where I was having to go to the corner shop and buy like these random brands that I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to use this. But no, flour I was fine with.
Totally. Right. So let's start from the beginning then. So what drove you to become the person you are today, Shah?
So for me, my background is that sort of growing up, it was kind of difficult. You know, we struggled financially. There was me, my mum and my brother. My dad was around, but they were separated. And yeah, there was just a lot of little things that happened as I was growing up that kind of gave me really bad victim mentality. And I got to a point where I realized I was just constantly under this black cloud. And it takes a while to realize that you're constantly mad at something. You're always angry and you're always upset. And I kind of had that realization around sort of 25, 26. And I was like, why am I so mad all the time? And then I kind of started to justify it and was like, well, no, you've been through stuff, so therefore you're entitled to feel that way. And then I realized I had to kind of come out the other side of that and was like, no, this isn't okay. And it was around about that time that I was reading the Daily Mail on my lunch break. Don't judge me. Like I said, I was like 25, 26. This was a while ago. And it was just after Vicky Patterson won I'm a Celebrity. And there is relevancy to this. I remember looking at her and thinking, how has she become the nation's sweetheart? When if you watched her in Geordie Shore, she could literally start a fight in an empty room. Like, she was so mad all the time, so angry. And I was like, I'm that Vicky Patterson. And I want to be this Vicky Patterson. And I literally just so happened to read an article in Daily Mail where she said she'd work with a life coach. And I had no idea what a life coach was, but I thought, well, if it worked for her, I need to give it a go. Literally that night, I started looking for life coaches, found an amazing life coach that I worked with in my area, and I started having coaching from then. So I had perhaps maybe 6 sessions, and that was the start of the turning point for me in my journey, because I really did quite a big transformation just in those sessions. But from there, I then continued and was working on myself. I then worked with a money coach later on. I became really big into like personal development and mindset work and things like that. And that in itself, that whole journey has just changed me from someone who I was basically like Eeyore, just always under a cloud, always really miserable, to someone who's just like constantly inspired by life. And I've now become that person that I used to hate, when I was like, why do we see the positive in everything? Like, honestly, sometimes things are just shit. And now I'm that person where I'm like, no, I see the positive, but I also acknowledge that things can be shit. But how can I actually make this a positive? How can I take responsibility, or how can I turn this around? And so that was where it all kind of came from, was just seeing and acknowledging that the person I was wasn't the person I wanted to be. How can I change this? You know, I was like, do I see a doctor? Who can stop this? And then I literally discovered life coaching. And that was the absolute catapult for me. And that was, 7 years ago now. And here I am, absolutely loving life. And just trying to share that with as many people as possible, because I struggled to find it. So therefore, I know other people will. So I'm trying to kind of bring that to the table and say to people, look, this exists, and this is how you can get from like place A to place B.
I totally understand what you're saying there, because unless you know the tools or have the tools in place, if you're going through the funk, through a moment of just destitute and I just don't know where to turn next, if you haven't got either a professional like what you did to go to, or even the tools now which you now have, how are they going to, you know, how are people going to know, right? Because they're just going to stay within that version of them for however long. You know, so what is the biggest lesson then? Let's say this, what is the biggest lesson that you learned from that journey along the way? And just a takeaway for the listeners that will be listening today, just sort of give them a takeaway version of what it was that, you know, obviously that you found a new way of coping with a certain, you know, parts of your life.
I always think there's two main things that have kind of really helped me and continue to help me to this stage. One of them is forgiveness, and actually understanding what forgiveness is, because it's not about forgiving other people. You know, for me, with me and my mum, we always had quite a strained relationship, and I know that that's had a massive impact on the person that I became. But that wasn't her fault as such. It was her situations causing her to react in a certain way, causing that to then come back to me, and then me in the place that I was taking that on board in my own way, whether that was how she meant it or not. And so I had to go back and do a lot of forgiveness work for like things that I'd experienced, like in my childhood, early teens, with like exes, with friends, and so much of that stuff where I was just like, I need to drop that struggle, that strain. I need to get rid of that for myself. So a big one for me, yeah, was forgiveness of like past situations. But then the other one was accepting responsibility for pretty much everything that happens to me. You know, even down something like if I get in the car and I end up being late for something and the person in front of me is doing like 6 mile an hour, I should have left earlier. Like, that's my problem. And I try and keep that throughout life as well. You know, if something doesn't go to plan or something doesn't go quite right, okay, well, what part did I play in that? How could I have done differently? I can blame everybody and anybody else, but what was my part in that? How can I accept responsibility? Even when you fall out with a friend, you know, they might have done you wrong, but you can take responsibility. Well, should I have seen that they weren't the greatest person in the world in the first place, and that I probably shouldn't have been, you know, moving with them anyway? So, yeah, I think mostly like forgiveness and taking responsibility have been huge for me, because it then puts it all back on me. Therefore, again, going back to controlling the controllables, I can control that, but I can't if I keep placing blame and whatnot on other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are there still parts of your life, though, that you're looking to, sort of your personal development that you're looking to achieve? Is there still, obviously we're always evolving, right? Always. Yeah. So is there any sort of, right at this moment, are you sort of working on a few bits at the moment?
Yeah, right now I'm actually working on my money mindset again. Because I've got a really bad relationship with money, which I know is down to mindset. And I worked with a money coach, as I said, but she really helped me with the practical side of things. So I really kind of nailed the practical, but COVID's had a massive impact on my finances. And throughout this whole situation, for me personally, the biggest struggle has been the financial side. You know, everything else, like I said, I'm kind of deal with, but with my income being hit and it only having one like income coming in, with that being hit, it's really affected my mind. And so every day I've been stressing and worrying about money and thinking about money and how can I get more money and all of this stuff. And I worked my way back into a bad money mindset. So once I kind of again took responsibility for that, I was like, okay, well, I can sit here and worry about money, or I can look at ways to make more money, and I can sell some stuff, and I can work on my money mindset and try and do things, you know, a bit better. So that's what I've been working on at the moment, and really uncovering some of the limiting beliefs that I've got about myself and about my money mindset. And again, forgiveness work and stuff comes into that. So that has been major for me, and it's actually helping me in other areas as well. So I'm just kind of going through a bit of a revelation at the minute, which I quite like.
Brilliant. Love it. So, could we just sort of delve in a little bit to the money side of it for you? So would you mind sharing where that sort of the root of that has come from?
Yeah, of course. So as I said, when I was growing up, like money was in super like short supply, and my mum, you know, she worked in retail and she had two kids to kind of fund, and it was just really, really tough. And my mum's kind of way of dealing with things was putting things on credit. So, you know, it was like catalogues and it was loans and things like that. But then my dad, on the other hand, who didn't have that high of an income, would save money and then buy really nice things. So he never, ever used credit. He's literally, until a couple of years ago, had never had a credit card. But he would always have like designer watches, nice cars. But he always knew a guy. My dad's proper like East End, or like he was born in North London, but he's East End. He's like, he always knows a guy, so he can always get what he wants, and he knows how to get this, and he always dresses super smart and pristine. So I had those two kind of money mindsets, one where it was like, well, I need it, so I'm going to have to get the credit and deal with it. And then the other where it was like, well, I don't have the money, but I'd rather save and then I can deal with it. But obviously my dad didn't have any dependents because I was with my mum.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that with my parents. And then growing up, I grew up on a council estate, but I went to school in an area that was kind of borderline on like a really wealthy area. So in my school, most of the kids that I went to school with had like massive, beautiful houses, nice cars, you know, always had the latest designer handbags. People would go to school in like full on designer gear because we had quite a loose uniform. So you could kind of get away with like kind of making it a bit cash. And everybody just had all these nice designer things and would go on these amazing holidays. And then even the council estate I grew up on, people there would have designer stuff and like big TVs and stuff like that. And it was like, my money mindset was just warped from them because I was like, well, everyone who lives on my estate doesn't really have money, but they've all got the nicest stuff. Then I've got the people that genuinely do have money and I aspire to be like them. And I would basically hide how poor we were to fit in, you know, with these people. So then as I kind of grew up and started getting my own money, I got a credit card at 18 and I've been in debt from the age of 18 to 29, I think it was, pretty much continuously. I was always in some form of debt. I always had credit card debt, loan debt, whatever it was. And yeah, it took me a long time to just realize that I'm not bad with money as such. It's something in my brain that says I started living by a motto that was stop spending money you don't have to impress people you don't know, because that is what I was doing for years. Anything I wanted, I would always use the excuse, well, I deserve it. I've sacrificed enough over my life. I'll put it on the credit card and I'll work my way out of it later. You know, I was very like, you know, only fools and alls is this time next year we'll be millionaires, convinced every year it was going to change. And then I was like, yeah, no, nothing's changing. So then that was when I started to kind of look a bit deeper. And obviously, at this point, I'd already worked with a life coach and had started exploring different things and thought, okay, well, actually, this could be a mindset issue because I keep trying to get out of it. And every time I do, I end up going backwards with the same mentality. So I need to flip that switch and change things. So now, as of December last year, I got out of my overdraft for the first time ever. So I was £1,000 in my overdraft every single month. So every time I get paid, I was £1,000 down. As of December last year, I've got out of my overdraft and I have not touched that since. Even despite everything that COVID's thrown at me, I still haven't touched that overdraft. So I know I'm definitely there, like I said, with the practical, but my fears around money because of growing up, you know, not having money, you know, we were made homeless when I was 13 because we got evicted from our home. So those things still ring quite true to me. So I do get quite fearful of losing money and I do get quite attached to money. But at the same time, I'm also very much like, I need to spend it. It needs to be spent. What am I going to do with it? You know, and so that's what I'm working on, is trying to be at peace, I guess, with money so that it's not a thing anymore. It's just something that you use for transactions and stop putting money on a pedestal, basically.
Yeah, because money is an energy, right? Like any other thing in your life that you bring in. Yeah, I mean, I obviously heard about you through Chloe Slade.
Yes, lovely Chloe Slade.
The money mindset guru in my eyes, yes. To be honest with you. And so, I mean, to be fair as well, Char, I'm the same. I've had sort of money mindset barriers as well through most of my life. So what you've just spoke about, I can relate to quite a lot of that. And it is, you're right. It's trying to align your energy into not sort of focusing so much on the want or the need of the money. It's all about, you know, that money is good and positive. Bringing a positive sort of vibe around money, isn't it? Instead of exactly. It a negative, you know?
Yeah. And just not giving it so much power to impact and influence you so much. But like I said, just kind of seeing it for what it is and being able to enjoy it and embrace it and not be scared of it and not fear, like have fear or lack around money, but just accept it for what it is. You know, it's cyclical. It's always flowing. It's there. It's not going anywhere, you know. Your bank account isn't reflective of anything. It's just a digital screen. You know, there's money in the world. There's ways to make money. There's ways to get money. So, yeah, that's for me, like to be in control of my money is like super empowering. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I'm really, really heavily working on. But I also think, like, I really want to nail it, because I think especially with this generation, we're so obsessed with stuff. You know, the consumerism is crazy. And, you know, I'm the most guilty of it. You know, I'm completely guilty of it. But there's so much emphasis on stuff, and it's so easy access now. Like, you can get anything on Tick. If you want a brand new car, you can walk in and walk out with a brand new car. It doesn't matter how much you earn. And, you know, whatever you want, everything's just got so much more expensive as well. Like, you want hair extensions, people are paying like £1,000 for hair extensions. Like, just everything is just so expensive, and everybody's striving to look good on the gram and just getting themselves into all these mountains of debt. And it's like, no, we need to just stop for a minute and then just reevaluate. And actually, I think COVID will help a lot of people in that sense, because stripping everything back has probably, you know, when the only thing you can do with your friends is go for a walk and have a picnic in the park rather than a night uptown with like taxis and going to the best restaurants and having the best clothes and all of that. Now it's just like, okay, do I need that every single weekend? Do I need to go to the 5-star holidays all the time? Or can I just do things a bit differently so that I don't have to skint myself just for the absolute essential? So yeah, hopefully this will have a big impact on a lot of people's take on money as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't, it just makes me shiver, really, just the thought of it, that materials in our lives are, you know, some people can't be without them, you know, they don't understand just the basic values in life. And that's, you know, that's really quite a sad thing, really, to, you know, if you think of it in that respect, because what if everything was taken away from them? You know, what would happen to them, you know? But so I just want to go on actually now to, because obviously I've found you also on Instagram, so you're on a social media, you know, you're an influencer on social media, and I just want to really sort of, because I know you said that you're working at the minute, are you working in London, did you say, at the moment? Like, you've got you're working a day job.
Yeah, so I still have my full-time job.
Yeah. And but then you're also doing a side hustle, you know, like you're sort of building up a presence and a known trust online. So just talk us through a little bit about that. You know, where was the birth of it? The, you know, the everything. Just tell us.
Yeah. So I wanted for a little while to kind of build like an online community and have a place where I can share the experiences that I've had. And my way of thinking, which is, I've always known that I'm different. I've seen things differently all the time. I wanted a way to be able to kind of share that with people, but I really couldn't work out how I was actually going to do that. And then just before lockdown, so around March time this year, I went to see a medium. And during my reading, randomly, she just kind of said, "What's a blog?" And I was like, I don't know how to explain a blog, but I was like, it's kind of like an online sort of diary sort of thing where you could put, she was like, "Spirit's telling me that you need to write a blog." And about six times throughout my reading, she just kept coming back to it. And she was like, "Yeah, the blog. You absolutely need to do the blog. The blog is the thing, like, you need to do the blog." So I was like, okay. So I left there and I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I started brainstorming. I spoke to Chloe Slade and I was like, "I'm going to do this, but I don't know. I just don't even know where to start." She was like, "Right, you need to get a domain, you need to get on Wix, you need to build your website, you need to do this, think of a name, blah, blah, blah." So I was like, right, okay, I've actually got some action steps now. And then we went into lockdown. And so kind of everything kind of went on hold whilst I was like, what does life look like now? What, you know, what am I doing? And then I just thought, whilst I was there and I had all this time, I was like, I'm just going to do it. So I just built a website on Wix, and within it, I wrote a couple of posts so that I had something to launch with, and then was just like, right, here we go. Here's my new blog, Millennial Me. I don't really know what it's about, but, you know, just kind of come with me on this journey. And then people were reading it and were just really coming back with some really positive feedback. And because it's mainly based on me and my experiences, it was so nice to hear, because it's like, this isn't something that I've researched on, like, it's not like vegan cooking or something like that. this is like my actual life. These are my thoughts and my feelings. And people were coming back and were like, oh my God, I can relate to that. Like this, like I've wanted to hear something like this for so long. So then I started changing my social media to kind of match that and was using that as an additional platform to the blog, because I didn't want to keep putting everything in like a long form blog piece. Sometimes I just want it quick and snappy. Then I started building my Instagram from there, really. And since then, I've then also kind of started thinking, okay, well, sky's the limit. So now I'm like, I've got all these big plans for what I can do with it. And I've also just enrolled on my coaching course, because becoming a life coach was actually a big goal for me. And again, just kind of sitting here in the last couple of weeks, just thought, you know what, it's time to make it happen. I can't rely on a corporate job. You know, I thought that was the most secure way to be. COVID has proved that it is not secure whatsoever. I've got a way to make an extra income and start building what I want to do that, you know, I've got a real passion for. So the next thing for me now is to actually launch my coaching, because for me, coaching, I want coaching to be accessible to everyone. Because like I said earlier, you know, people don't know that it exists. And so many people probably have coaches on their social media or have heard of it, but still don't really know how it can help them. And I want to kind of break down all of those barriers and let people see, you know, this is the benefit of a coach. This is how you can work with a coach. You know, I feel like so many, and the reason it's millennial me is because I feel like so many millennials don't realize their full potential. We're caught in that mid-generation where, you know, our parents made us think, you know, you have to go and get a good job, then you have to meet somebody, then you have to buy a house, and you have to get a dog, and then you have to get married, and then all of these things, and you have to be very traditional. And all of a sudden the internet came along, and all of a sudden the Gen Zers were born, and they're like 6-year-olds that are becoming millionaires, and we're just stuck in the middle, like, what do we do? What can we do? And we don't necessarily believe it's possible for us. But there's so many people out there who can do so much more if they just step out of that norm. And so I want to help people. You know, I worked with a friend of mine recently who, you know, was just so stuck. She was like, I know I want to do more, but I don't know what I want to do. And she had all these limiting beliefs. Oh, I can't do that because so-and-so might say something. And, oh, but I can't do that because I don't have the skills. And it's like, you don't need skill for anything anymore. You YouTube it. Like, I managed to build an entire website, do everything that I've learned about blogging and getting to where I am now and doing all the things that I'm doing, self-taught on YouTube. I even learned how to cook a restaurant quality steak. You can find anything on YouTube. You can learn anything. There's no excuse. It's just letting people know that they can do it and giving them that confidence and being that cheerleader for them. So I just want to kind of be that person for people to just be like, yes, queen, like you can absolutely do anything that you want. Like anything is possible. Just get out of your own head, because we're all so guilty of that. So that's how it kind of came about. And that's what I'm trying to achieve, is to show people you don't need to do what your mum told you to do. You don't need to buy the house. Like, we put too much emphasis on bricks and mortar in this country, and it's just not essential. If you can't afford it, don't do it. That myth of, oh, but I'm just paying someone else's mortgage. Well, yes, but you still have a roof over your head. What does it matter whose mortgage it is? You know, stop listening to those lines that actually don't serve you. Like, another one for me is when people say, oh, muscle weighs more than fat. And it's like, but nothing weighs more than anything. Because if it's the same weight, it's the same weight. It doesn't matter. But if you say to someone, oh yeah, muscle weighs more than fat, that's why you're putting on weight, they'll be like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's not true. Absolute lies. Nothing weighs more than anything. But we hear these lines over and over, and we just take them as gospel. We never really listen to it and question it. And so, yeah, that's one of the things I like to do, is just kind of break down those societal norms and expectations and be like, no, stop it. Stop listening. Hear it for what it is and make up your own mind. And I just think that gives people so much power to just step outside of the norm and do what actually sets their soul on fire.
Yes. 100% agree with you there. There are so many brainwashers out there. And also, to be fair on us as well, is every so often we have the imposter syndrome that kicks in and, you know, and, oh, I can't do this and that. But actually, you know, as we know, with the right mindset, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. Anything.
Absolutely. And that, I'm still guilty of imposter syndrome myself. There will always be times where I'm just like, No, that's a bit much. That's way out of my comfort zone. But I've now got to a place where I'm like, that's the challenge. You know, I'm going to succeed more if I step outside of my comfort zone. And I've proved that I've been able to do everything that I've achieved so far. And if I can't do it, then I can outsource it because that's another thing I love to do. I don't like cleaning. I'm not very good at cleaning. I have a cleaner because she does it good. So, you know, that if you genuinely can't do it, outsource it. You know, if you want to launch a podcast, but you just can't get your head around like the back end of it, find a podcast manager. You know, there are ways and means to do things. You can't just like block yourself. You need to kind of look at all of the available options before completely writing it off. But if we can put people on the moon, nothing's impossible. Apart from eating your own head, nothing is impossible.
I like that. So is there anything else you want to talk about before we move on to your lovely bunnies? Because obviously I'm an animal lover. So is there anything that you want to discuss? Because this is your episode.
Oh, bless you. I mean, we've covered so much, which I'm super, super grateful for. I guess for me, it's just, you know, like I said, just having like you having this podcast and allowing someone like me on here, which I'm super grateful for, just gives me that opportunity to kind of speak to more people to say, you know, you don't have to be who you think you have to be. And yeah, I guess for me, it's just making sure that people know, or at least start to go along that train of thought, kind of thinking, okay, well, maybe I don't have to do a 9 to 5 forever. Maybe if I do want to become a travel influencer or a blogger or whatever it is, like that is possible. Like people are doing it, so therefore it must be possible. So yeah, just letting people know that there's so much more to life if you let it. And if you are feeling a void, or you're feeling stuck, or you're at a crossroads and you don't know what to do, work with a coach or work with a therapist if it needs to go a little bit deeper. Or, you know, if you've got a friend, that one friend who just gives you the best advice, you know, start the conversation there. Start talking, writing things down, getting things out. And hopefully that will help people to start making moves and taking those next steps. But like I said, I think everybody should work with a coach. There are heaps of coaches out there, all doing different things, you know, life coaching, mindset coaching, empowerment coaching, relationship coaching, whatever it may be, there's a coach out there. So I just say, you know, if you've been thinking about working with a coach, or you're feeling like you could do with some assistance in getting out of your own head and getting out of a funk, you know, connect with someone. That's what I would say.
Yeah. And obviously everybody that's listening does know that I'm a well-being coach, and I've got so yeah, I mean obviously for me it's the coaching that I really sit well with is well-being. It's all about the mind is a powerful tool. And I mainly focus on people that obviously need to sort of adjust certain sides of their brain that are just not functioning the right way that they should be for them to be able to be more in aligned. So mine's more of sort of a holistic coaching service. But you're right, the life coaches are absolutely inspiring. I mean, they completely change your life, literally, right? That's why they're a coach in that. And like you did, you know, you went to see a life coach, and again, she transformed you into, well, I would imagine you would even not even recognize parts of the old you now, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, I'm still in touch with her. We're still connected. We still speak. And even she says, like, it's crazy to see how much you've changed. And that was something I really had to deal with as well. And that was where my imposter syndrome would come from, especially launching Millennial Me. I was confident enough to do it, but I did have that in the back of my mind where I was like, people from my past will see this and think that I'm a fraud. But then I was like, I don't really care. They're in my past. Like, they're absolutely irrelevant to me. They know a past version of me. I've evolved. I wake up every day a new person, and I'm going to be whichever person I feel like waking up. I don't have multiple personalities, but I do evolve and grow, and I learn about myself. And that in turn means that I'm changing constantly. And so there will be people all through my life who have met different versions of me at different times. And so I had to stop worrying about that imposter syndrome, thinking, who am I to be this positive person? Because it was only a few years ago when I was the miserable one, always angry, always sad, always crying, always shouting, you know, and now I'm this person who's just like, you know, I'm so super chill most of the time. I get passionate, but 9 times out of 10, I'm just a bit more chill. And, you know, I pretty much sit in silence most of the day. There was a time where I couldn't do that because my brain was going too much. And now I'm just like, I enjoy the peace. I enjoy the calm. I enjoy that my life is so much easier. But yeah, that I think working with her and seeing the transformation and still being in contact with her as well, actually, is really amazing, because it's, I can't even describe, you know, there's friends in my, one of my good friends, Hannah, who's pretty much been with me like the entire time. She's always just like, I'm so proud of you. And like the way that you've changed is insane. And I'm like, bless you, because that was why I was doing it. You know, I wanted to change, and you always think that you have, but to get that validation from someone like her, who I know she's that honest friend, and I love that about her. And when she says that, I'm just like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. I may not be where I quite want to be just yet, but I'm on that journey and I'm doing the things I need to do to get there.
Well, I must say, Char, to be fair, when I very first met you, the connection that you just drew me in with your, just the beautiful soul that you've got, and considering you're from the millennial era, if I'd like to say it that way, I don't know if that's how you put it, because my children are in the millennial era, that sort of time zone as well, the year, and I just know what you say, like the wording and everything, you explain what the millennials are going through. You're just such an inspiring young woman, from how, you know, that you've not been stuck in a certain part of that category, that title, if you like. I don't even know, obviously you are a millennial, but I don't even know. I feel like you're an old soul, like you've been here before. So grown up and mature, and you know, vision, your vision and focus is so determined, and that's pretty special, you know. So yeah, definitely a pat on the back for you, girl. You're doing amazing, honestly. You really are.
Thank you so much.
You are.
I had to grow up at a young age, and then I've got a lot of cousins, but I was the first girl, and then I was the only girl for 5 or 6 years. So I would hang out with all, like, my mum and the aunties. So I was just used to being around older people. And I think because I would like to read, and I could articulate myself well, I just always found that I could connect better with older people when I was younger. So because of that, I feel like I've got a way where I can kind of speak to people at all ages, because I'm quite confident and comfortable speaking to older people, and you know, being able to hold a conversation at that level. But then I can also hold a conversation at a level with my peers, but then also like the youngers as well. Like, I've got young cousins, my nieces and nephews are young, but they're younger than me, but they're still quite old, because I was 9 when they were born. So my oldest nephew's 23 and my youngest niece is 17. So, you know, they're younger than me, but they're quite old really for nieces and nephews. And I think because of that, it's allowed me to kind of be able to communicate with people at different part, like life stages. And that's how I learn as well, because older people have been through stuff. So I learn from them, and then I can pass that on to people my age, who can hopefully then pass it down to the younger people as well. So I just feel like it's like a service that I'm providing, looking at people's journeys and things like that, but also learning what I don't want to do. You know, I knew I never wanted to live or go down the same path as my mum. I always wanted something different. So for me, it was like, okay, well, how do I get off this council estate? How do I make sure that I've always got money? How do I make sure that I'm not in the same financial situation that she found herself in? And so it just always made me very driven. And I've worked full time since I was 16. I'm 33 now. I'm kind of ready to retire. I'm tired. Okay. I'm ready for a break. But yeah, no, that I've always had that kind of drive and that passion in me. And that was something that I really wanted to unleash recently, is because I always had the drive. I just never really executed. And that's something that I'm learning to do now, is actually just take the plunge, step out of your comfort zone.
Inspiring. I could listen to you all day, honestly. You're just great. It's brilliant. I love it. You're full of knowledge and just, you're very wise, young lady.
Wise old owl.
I wasn't going to say, because you're not. So thanks so much for just sharing everything with us today. But before we go, there's one thing we do need to talk about.
Or two things.
Two, yes, correct. honey and sage.
Yes.
Can you please just tell us? But first of all, Shah, tell us the reason behind why you got honey and sage.
So these two naughty little munchkins came into my life because I, like I said earlier, I've been living on my own for 7 years, which I've absolutely loved. I feel like I needed it. So I moved out when I was 19. I lived with an ex, didn't end well, moved back home, then moved into a couple of flat shares, didn't end well. By the time I left the last one, I'd bought this place when I was 25, and I just didn't want anyone around me after that. I was like, everybody stay out. This is my bitch cave. Let me live. And then the years just kind of flew by, and all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, I've been here for 7 years. Like, this is crazy. I thought I'd meet someone and move out within 3 years and buy like my dream home. That didn't happen. So it got to a point, especially with lockdown and obviously not seeing people and being on my own, I was like, you know what? I really want some company. But also, you know, when people say, oh, you know, you have to love yourself before you can find love and all of these things. And I was like, I don't feel like I have anybody to love, like give all of that kind of those feelings to then be able to draw them back in and kind of manifest whatever it is that I'm looking for. So I was like, well, if I get a pet, then I can love a pet and then I can start feeling the feelings again and then start putting that out to the universe. You know, like I do have a heart. I'm not like dead inside. So I got these two little bunnies who have just caused me nothing but headache since they arrived. They are expensive, messy house guests. But when I look at them right now asleep next to each other, because they're brother and sister, I look at them and I'm like, oh, darling, I won't feed you to the foxes today. So they can stay another day. But yeah, they keep weeing on my carpet. They may end up as somebody's lunch.
Oh my God.
It's not okay to wee on my carpet. But no, they're cute, so they get away with it. But no, it's Joe. It's actually really fun having them around because they're actually quite hard of hearing. So I realised, like, I've been talking to them for a couple of weeks and actually can't hear a word I'm saying. But it's just nice to have them like just hopping around the flat. So when I'm working, they're just there. And yeah, it's nice getting to know them and understanding what rabbits are all about, because they're actually quite difficult compared to cats and dogs. So I'm kind of learning, but yeah, it's been fun. They're trouble, but they're lovely. And I'm growing more and more fond of them as they're here. So yeah, it's pretty cute.
Oh, and they just, you know, it's, and also when you come home from work, they're there. Yeah. I don't know about you, it's a bit like you just know that there's a presence around you. Do you know what I mean? Even though you can't talk to them in a weird sense.
It's just that company, isn't it?
Mm, yeah. So the time has just flown past, and I would love, if you wouldn't mind, if I could have you back again on season two, maybe.
I'd love to.
We could touch into, you know, delving in a little bit more deeper into some more topics. Mm. I would love that, and I'm sure the listeners would as well. Yeah. But just before we go,
yes,
please let us know where the listeners can reach out to you.
Yeah, so the blog is millennialme.co.uk. And to find me on Instagram, it's at millennial.me_.
Okay, brilliant. That's great. I mean, have you got anything else to say before we go?
No, I mean, just keep an eye out. My coaching will be launching very, very soon, which I'm super excited about. And it won't be that kind of woo-woo coaching that people see sometimes that makes them think it's not, you know, obtainable. This will be kind of real life. Here's what we're going to achieve. This is how we're going to work together. I'm going to be, you know, that big sister or that best friend that, you know, you just need to talk to, but I'll also be your biggest cheerleader and help you get what you need to do. So yeah, keep an eye out for that, because that will be my next venture.
That sounds absolutely amazing. I cannot wait also to I can't wait. Honestly, I'm so excited for you with everything that's going to be coming your way, Char. And you deserve everything in life. Just grab it all for Char. That's what we need.
Yes, let's do it. I'm here for everything now. Like, the world is my oyster now. I feel
perfect.
So I feel like everything is achievable. So I'm just going for it all.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. And you're welcome. And goodbye, everybody. And I hope that you've enjoyed today's show.
I do hope you have gained some further insight in this episode today and now have some takeaway positivity. I thank you for your time. Before we go, though, can you show some love for our favourite podcast by leaving us a review on Apple Podcast? Please do share the podcast with your friends and family, or anyone you know that could benefit from these episodes. Stay tuned for next Monday morning's episode with another special guest appearance. Love and light.